Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Tyrese Maxey, and you're listening to the 76ers Insiders Podcast.
This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network, presented by Stern & Cohen Law.
Search 76ers Insiders wherever you get your podcasts. Suffering an injury at work can cause physical pain, but also great uncertainty about your rights. You need to retain a workers' compensation law firm that is a winner like our Sixers. A firm that gets some of the best settlements, but is also willing to go toe-to-toe with the insurance company. No settling on the cheap. This is Philly. We have grit and fight in us. Call the workers' compensation law firm of Stern & Cohen or visit their site sterncohenlaw.com. The consultation is free. Stern & Cohen are the official partners of the 76ers. They'll go ring the insurance company's bell.
Welcome. We have shared the court many times together as teammates, but this is our first time doing a podcast together. Welcome on the 76ers Insider Podcast. It's good to have you here.
Man, it's great to be here with you, my brother.
It's been a while since we've really caught up. A lot has happened, so I'm looking forward to diving right in. How are things with you? How's your second stint around in Philly? You know, it's been about 5 years since your last stint with this team. How are things different this time around, and how have you grown as a person and player?
Well, of course, much older. Like you said, 5 years. I'm a father now. And, you know, a lot of my old friends are still here. So that pretty much hasn't changed. My transition has been great. It was pretty easy. You know, for me, I didn't really have much to, like, really go and renew myself with. So, you know, just being back in this realm, you know, fortunate that I've been hurt for a duration of this period, but you know, I'll be back soon enough, so.
When you kind of look back to your early days, you know, starting off in this league with this team, and now you see yourself, you've been 10-plus years in the NBA, I guess, what do you think has changed about the league or the style of play over that course of the time, and what has helped you kind of adapt and make yourself so successful over that period of time?
The way that the game has changed is being played much faster. It's a lot more threes, and it's kind of like positionless basketball, which is actually works in my favor. You know, coming into the league was one of the things that they kind of was like, you know, I didn't really have a position. But now that, you know, 10-plus years later, that's what the league is now. And, you know, it's only getting, you know, much faster. So, you know, the transition has been great for me. And, you know, like I said, being that, you know, we shared the court many years ago, you know, many battles here in this arena, just to see, like, you know, our careers had, you know, shifted in different directions. But, you know, we're still doing something that, you know, we love. We actually talked about this when we were in, you know, when we had our stint then about, you know, what did you want to do afterwards? And you said this is what you planned on doing, and now look at you.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Just getting started. But, you know, when I think back to those days, the process days, if that's what you want to call them, you know, one question that I wanted to ask you, a hypothetical, if we took our 2015-2016 team, 10 wins, 10-72, I might add, fully healthy, and we played a 7-game series against this Sixers team right now, would we win one game?
Absolutely.
And that's what I was saying too. I was saying, I think we would sneak one win. Mainly because, here's the thing, teams used to take us super light. Like, teams used to just not really play hard the first three quarters.
Play hard as ever.
But we were grinding.
Yeah, we lost a lot of games because we ran out of gas.
Yeah.
That's literally how it pretty much worked out, is that we ran out of gas. Because, you know, we put an emphasis on playing hard. A lot of teams were going to, take, like you said, take us lightly. And we, like, just came up short. It was a lot of games. It was just like we was right there. It's just a few errors, you know, that we did down the line. But like I said, we ran out of gas.
Yeah. I try to tell people all the time, like, we weren't a great team, but the record, the 10-72, doesn't really, it doesn't do us justice that we actually weren't that bad. And when you look at that roster, a lot of the guys have gone on to have very long, successful careers and are still playing, like yourself, mm-hmm. TJ, you know, Nerlet. Like, there's so many guys that have gone on to just play long careers, and we were all so young. We were so young, so inexperienced.
I was considered the vet on the team, and that was only
that's
my
scary.
Third year.
That's very scary that you were the vet at that time. But, you know, looking back at those days, to me, what sticks out was throughout all those losses and throughout some of the tough times, the friendships and bonds that we created because we were all in that same starting phase of our career, mm-hmm. I think brought us together and allows us to kind of still be close with one another and share these memories in a lighthearted way, because it really was all good times, even though
we did. We had a whole lot of good times. And no matter what, like, people say that, oh, how did y'all honestly get through the season? It was like, we did not only a great job, but the organization mm-hmm. did a great job of, like, helping us navigate through, because it was tough. Mm-hmm. You know, losing that many games is definitely tough. But the fact that we was able to do other things, I don't know if you remember the presentations we used to have.
Oh, yeah. You brought your snakes in. I said, Kav, I love you. Get those snakes away from me right now. Get them away.
Yeah. And half the whole entire everyone in the organization, everything was just literally, we had it in the beginning mm-hmm. where everybody was up close. The next thing you know, the whole entire organization was in the kitchen.
I said, no, I'm not getting close to those.
You know, it's crazy. My reptile, you know, cage of expansion, it expanded heavily.
Really? Mm-hmm. How many, what's the repertoire looking like now? We got like 5 of them, 10 of them?
Four.
Man, that's too much for me. And they travel, they're worldwide with you, huh?
Yeah, every city that I've been in.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, well, I'm going to try to take it maybe a little bit more, lighthearted and just fire off some questions to you. What was your welcome to the NBA moment when you look back at your career?
I had two. The game winner, Dame Lillard, and the first time I played, you know, the first time I played against, when I was in Houston, I think it was against Sacramento. Mm. It was the first time I scored my first NBA bucket, and I just remember my vets just telling me, yo, if you don't stop passing the ball to us and shoot the ball.
So, hey, at least they were on your side trying to get you a bucket. It's always good when you get vets
they
like
were.
That.
And then the, like I said, the second one was my rookie year as well, when game 6, Dame Lillard hit that dagger 3 to send
us
home.
Iconic. That was an iconic game winner.
And what's crazy is I go to Portland, and when I play for Portland, they have that picture up on the wall, mm-hmm. and you see me in the background, and I'm like this.
You want to know what's crazy? So I played in Portland, and I went to Dame's house one time. And, like, he has this hallway when you first come into his house. And it's, like, all of his, like, coldest NBA moments. And he's got a lot of them. And it's just, like, you walk down this long hallway, and it's just, like, picture after picture after picture. And that's one of them. It's from the other baseline of him kind of going up for that shot and, like, everyone just on their feet. I walked down that hallway. I got goosebumps because I was like, damn, this guy's really.
And he has that similar in his gym, too.
Mm-hmm.
Bradshaw Davis. Like I said, that was my two welcome to the NBA moments.
All right. Well, speaking about, you know, having some vets with you in Houston, you know, welcoming you to the NBA, would you care to share some of the craziest rookie duties you were responsible for in Houston? Who is your vet?
I had a few vets. James Harden, Dwight Howard, Francisco Garcia, Patrick Beverley, Ronnie Brewer. Trying to think of who else. Terrence Jones. These are technically all my vets. But the people that kicked it with the most was Francisco Garcia and Dwight. And so the craziest duty I used to have is with Francisco, I just had to meet him at his hookah bar every single day. Like, that was his thing. I had to meet him there. And I didn't smoke hookah.
He just needed company?
He just needed company. So we just sitting there chopping it up, and, like, he's giving the ins and outs of, like, what we're walking into, like, giving us games. So literally, I just sit there, we just have conversations. And as time went on, like, he just kept teaching. Mm-hmm. teaching. My craziest rookie duty with Dwight was he used to have me carry a 55-pound book bag that was literally filled with iPads, computers, about 50 chargers, charging wireless chargers, like, it was a brick.
Mm-hmm.
used to carry that around. Then he used to have me, like, he used to take, like, these little adventures going to, like, reptile houses. Like, so he's actually the one that first introduced me to snakes. So
I was about to say, is that the intro? That's the intro. Dwight Howard. Intro. Now we know.
I had an interest in, you know, reptiles, like, you know, growing up from Steve Irwin. But he was like, all right, I'm going to take you to this zoo that, you know, we came across. And, you know, they have a lot of stuff. When I tell you they have a lot of exotic animals, they had a lot of exotic animals. And that's where, like, I actually was like, all right, you know what? I'm gonna actually get me one. But they had ones that I did not want. They were full grown.
Like, and I was pythons. Like
yeah, I was like,
keep those away.
Y'all can't keep those away. I want to get my own. Like, I can raise it. Mm-hmm. That way I can know the temperament of it. Because if you get a brain mistake, you don't know how to read it, that can be bad.
Shout out to Dwight Howard for giving snakes a new home. You know, he put you on. Now all of a sudden you're a father to a bunch of snakes. I mean.
Mm-hmm. And I still have the one that I had for my first.
What's the life expectancy on those things?
Like, actually up to 25 years.
Oh, so you have some companions for quite some time.
For quite some time.
All right. We talk about Philly, the city. What are you going with favorite cheesesteak?
Larry's.
Larry's.
Mm-hmm.
Is that always?
I got a signature cheesesteak there.
You do have a signature. It's the Robert Covington. See, I have not tried this yet. So
all I do is call up, like, yo, do it. It's Cov. Like, he's like, yo, brother, how many you need?
And so please tell us, like, what is the Robert
Chicken
Covington
cheesesteak?
Okay.
Mushroom, American cheese. Simple. Then on the side, I have mayo, hot sauce, and ranch. And I mix the mayo and the hot sauce. Give me a look. You know, spices, kick to the mayo sauce, and then I pour that across the top, and then I pour the ranch across.
I like it. That's a good combo. I might have to try that myself.
I have to.
All right, so we move on from cheesesteaks to dining. What's your number one restaurant in the city?
Number one for me, and I haven't been, unfortunately, is Del Frisco. It's always been Del Frisco.
Yeah.
Them cheesesteak egg rolls have been calling my name. But
we used to have our end of the season dinners there in the vault. Order some Hennessy lemonade, call it a day.
Call it a day, call it Lenny's.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, I got some rapid fire questions for you. It's going to be tough, though. Start one, bench one, cut one.
Okay.
LeBron, Kobe, Michael Jordan.
I got to go with Mike start, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The hard...
That's a tough one.
Tough one. But I'm going to have to go bench Kobe, cut Bron.
Wow. Really? You know, either way you pick it, someone's gonna be the loser there.
Championships.
Yeah, that's true.
You got 6, 5, 4.
All right. If we're talking basketball superpowers, would you rather have 2010 peak LeBron athleticism? Or would you rather have 2016 Steph Curry shooting ability?
Athleticism all day.
You have the athleticism.
I can shoot already.
Yeah, so you can shoot already. So you're going
to... Jumping out the gym like that is...
You need to get the tendonitis feeling a little bit better in the knees. Get the, you know, get the knees feeling early 20s.
I never had that experience of the bounce. So I would definitely take that athleticism.
You were a little bouncy back in our early Philly days. You would catch people slipping every now and then.
Slipping now. I'm trying to look people as I literally hit the trampoline and just look down at people as I go like that. I've never had that. I think I've only had one, but it was like a grim grazer.
What's been your biggest poster of your career?
My biggest poster of my career would have to be, I don't know.
Have you been put on a poster?
Not body to body.
Not body to body, but you were there in the picture.
Yeah, I was there in the picture a few times. You know, I like to swipe and try to get to people before they.
Well, and you have the tough assignment of, like, you're going to be going up against LeBron, Paul George, the wings that are 6'8 and bouncy. So you're put in a position where if you get caught slipping a little bit.
Well, see, I'm going to do the work to not get caught slipping, right. Really.
Well, that's why you're still here 10 years later with a job. And I'm sitting here on this side on the couch asking you the questions. Let me think. We got another one. 96 Bulls, 2016 Warriors. Which one are you going with?
I got to go with Bulls.
You go Bulls?
Yeah, I got to.
Is that 16 Warriors team the best team that you have played against in your time in the NBA?
Yes, 1,000%.
Like, I want to touch on that because I don't want to say that we ever were going into a game scared, but, like, people have to realize back in 2016, we already weren't – we couldn't beat a lot of teams. But that was just – you had to be there for that time where it was just different, like – I'd come into the game and be like,
into that. Remember when we walked into the arena, we was like, yo, do you feel that?
Yeah.
And the game wasn't even nowhere near, like, even remotely close to starting. And then once it got to the game and the first three, you heard the arena, like, floor, like, shake.
Mm-hmm.
You heard the literally, like, the noise from, like, how loud it was.
And that was before Steph or Clay hit a three yet. This is just, I mean, it's just.
But when they hit the three, it was like, and we look up, it's like, yo, this might get ugly.
Mm.
And this was before the game even started. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then we ended up losing bad. And the way that the momentum in that building, it went higher and higher and higher to a point where we couldn't even hear each other. Like, we were talking. Mm-hmm. We couldn't even hear each other on the court.
Yeah. That's crazy. I want to touch on something that's pretty crazy that most people maybe haven't had. So you went from having Elton Brand as a teammate to Elton Brand being the GM that traded for you and brought you back to Philly. How is that relationship and how have you kind of maintained your relationship with EB over the years?
EB has always been a good friend. And like you said, he was a good mentor to us back then.
OG.
You know, seeing him transition did a lot for us back then.
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot for us back then. We transitioned to the role of, you know, stepping into GM, and then I get traded off of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's always been, like, a respect level there, you know, coming back. You know, he's like, yeah, we're going to do it right this time. Like, you know, it's unfortunate that things happened the way it happened. But, you know, that's all in the past. Like, we here now. We're going to try. We're going to make amends to this because, you know, it's we need you. And I was like, okay, I understand. Yeah. I'm here. Like, that's what it is. That's what it's about.
And you're someone who's been around long enough where the first time you get traded, it feels very personal and it sometimes feels like a backstab.
Yeah.
And after you've had a long enough career and you've been through some trades and stuff, you do start to realize that it really very rarely is personal.
Yeah.
It is all business at the end of the day. But it's hard to take it's hard to take a step back and look at it that way because you got your family and there's so much going on and moving and so
it was back then in that time I did feel like it was very personal. And I had like a little small like animosity for a little minute, but then as I got traded more, I understood that it's the nature of the business and you can't really hold a grudge. And, you know, I let it go. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I understand that they did something that what was in the best they felt for the organization. And, you know, I'm not mad about it anymore. Like back then, it was just that was my first time for it happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it's like you don't know how to process all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dang. But as time goes on, like you understand, it's the nature of the business. And, you know, it's never no person. Like you build personal relationships, and that's not going to tarnish what, you know, the decision that hard decisions that they have to make for the organization, because at the end of the day, that's what they have to operate in. They have to think about what's best for the organization, and they're going to do what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're going to try to put themselves in the best position. So the way that you handle it, you know, moving forward, you know, and like I said, I was younger at that time. That was, you know, 2018, you know, it's 6 years later. So, you know, you don't do it. As time gets on, you get older, you get smarter, you get wiser, and you understand that it is the nature of the business. So you don't have to take them things personally. And I, looking back now, I definitely don't. Like I said, it's an opportunity that presented itself that, you know, they took advantage of.
Yeah. Well, it shows the maturity for you because, you know, obviously the Sixers took a chance on you and gave you an opportunity very early stage of your career, and then gave you the extension mm-hmm. that you deserved and, you know, played yourself into. And so I could see how, from your point of view, getting traded soon after that can be like, damn, what do you like? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I thought this was family. I thought this was all love. So that's the tough part about the NBA and the business of sports that a lot of people don't see, is like, there's so much more that goes into it than just, mm-hmm. you know, what you see on TV at the end of every day, and like the relationships that are cultivating, and, you know, what's best for the organization. But yeah.
As you get older, you understand it, and you don't take things as personal. And like you said, it's all the nature of the business. And, you know, at the end of the day, relationship is always going to be the same. Like, you know, me and EB have a great respect for each other. We have a good bond that, you know, that's something that never be, you know, broken. Like you said, from the player aspect and from the other side, mm-hmm. you know, it's love seeing people excel in their positions and, you know, doing well.
If I were to, you know, catch Robert Covington strolling down Broad Street in his whip, mm-hmm. what whip would I see him in these days?
Not what you used to see me in.
It was the Charger before. I remember the blue Charger.
The blue Charger. I still have it, though.
You still have it. It's in the reserve. It's like on the bench. It's like.
I gave it to my dad.
Oh, that's a good gift.
I gave it to my dad because originally I was going to trade it in. And my dad was like, nah, that's your first. That was my first car ever. Mm. He was like, nah, give me that. I gave it to him. Now, you'll catch me in one of my four cars.
One of four. You want to share any insight as to what those ones are?
Today, I drove my second double R.
Double R. We talking Ghost, Wraith, Phantom?
Cullinan.
Okay. All right. Well, clearly some of us are in a different tax bracket over here, but...
That was my gift to myself last year for my birthday.
You know what? That is a phenomenal gift. What was that? That was the 30th birthday? 32nd. 32nd is a big birthday. You got to reward yourself somehow, right?
Man. Yeah. And my 33rd is going to be even better. No cars, though.
I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of age, when you look forward, do you still feel like you have a lot to give to the game of basketball? Do you still envision yourself? Are you still motivated to continue that journey and continue to grow? How do you see that playing out moving forward?
I got about another 6'7" in me.
So you're trying to make it to 20. Like, it's going to be...
No, I'd be at 17, 18 at that point.
The pension plan's going to be looking great at 17 years.
17 years. I'm going to run these things till the wheels fall off. Because like I said, I give my family, and not only that, my daughter an experience that, you know, they've mm-hmm. never had. So I enjoy that, and that's my purpose, what I do it for. You know, my family and, you know, people I care about, they enjoy the mm-hmm. journey with me. So, you know, I still have a lot to give. I'm still motivated. I'm still mm-hmm. happy to do what I do. And that ain't going to change no time soon.
And I think a lot of people don't respect that enough for the people that do go on to play 10, 15, 20 years in the NBA. The level of commitment and motivation it takes to stay at the top. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people it's one thing to make it to the NBA, which is hard to do. Don't get me wrong. But even harder than making it is staying. And it's a true testament to a couple of things: love for the game, motivation, and being able to adapt. Because like mm-hmm. we talked about, the games since we were teammates and now, it's changed.
It's changed significantly.
And so,
and think about how many of our teammates back then, how many of them are still in the league?
I know. It's crazy.
It's really only probably like four.
Let's be honest about something. Day one of training camp together in 2015, you looked at TJ McConnell. Would you think that TJ McConnell would be still balling right now, picking people up 94 feet in 2024?
Are we talking about the TJ that we literally watched? Literally watch day in and day out, sit up here and say, man, I just turned the ball over. They about to cut me after this game.
Oh, yeah.
That TJ, but then you look at the stat sheet, he got 10 points, 9 assists, 4 steals.
It's
like 6 rebounds. Like, and TJ, you got 1 turnover.
It's what made him great. He was paranoid.
Literally drove him.
Out of everyone that played in the process era, I feel like that's got to be one of the best stories. The fact that he started off on a 4-year non-guaranteed from Sam Hinkie. And, you know, it is a testament. Like, you know, there was a lot of downside that came with, you know, putting that team together in terms of like we weren't successful, or whatever. But it really gave a lot of us an opportunity and platform to go on and show what we were capable of. Yeah. And
because, I mean, we wasn't playing for much. Mm-hmm. We literally was showcasing. I don't know how many guys we had throughout that locker room. But it was trial and error. And a lot of people prospered. Some people didn't. You know, some people are making careers overseas. But some stuck in the league. And, you know, it's just that balance of, you know, some people took full advantage of their, not took advantage, but the right situation played out in their hands. Mm-hmm. And that's what allowed, you know, guys like me, TJ, to, you know, really thrive. Like when we ventured from here, we was able to continuously to prosper.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really hope I continue to see you prosper out there. I'm looking forward to watching you guys make a playoff push this year. I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and catch up.
Oh, non-negotiable.
It's been much needed, a good catch up. So I'm glad to see you're doing well. I hope your family's all good. And thanks again for stopping by, Coach. Yeah,
my guy. Saucy. My guy. Saucy.
Saucy. Stay saucy, my friends.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.